Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Senator Bernie Sanders, we are so delighted to see you back with us. I know how hard it is and how everybody wants to get a piece of Bernie Sanders, but we've got you and we are grateful. Let me start with primary care shortage. Around the country, primary docs are getting scarcer and scarcer. People want to go into the specialty places as more money. How do we resolve this?
Well, this is an issue that we've done a lot of studying about, because I'm chairman of the subcommittee that deals with primary health care and aging. And Alan, the first point to be made is that around the world, most countries have about 70% of their physicians as primary care people and 30% as specialists. In this country, it is exactly reversed. We have about 30% primary care, 70% specialists. The problem with that is that we have millions of people today who find it very, very difficult to find a primary care doctor when they get sick. And what happens if you can't find a doctor? You don't go into a doctor. You get sicker. And then you end up finally finding a doctor, and the doctor said, why didn't you come here 6 months ago? I have to send you to the hospital. So you're sicker. The system ends up spending a lot more money on you. Or if you can't find a primary care doctor, you know where you may end up? In the emergency room. And there are estimates, no one knows exactly what the number is, but maybe 50% of the folks who walk into an emergency room are not really emergent cases. It's not a heart attack, it's not an automobile accident, it may be the flu, it may be the sprained ankle, but they don't have access to a primary care physician. If you're on Medicaid and you go into a an emergency room, it ends up costing about 10 times more than if you walked into a community health center and you had a primary medical home. So what we need to do is not only educate and get out into the field a whole lot more primary care physicians, but we need nurse practitioners, we need others as well. The goal has got to be that if you are sick, you can get to a doctor on that day, you can get affordable medicine to take care of your problem. When you make that investment and you do those things, Alan, we not only ease a whole lot of suffering, we not only prevent about 45,000 people a year from dying unnecessarily because they don't get to a doctor on time. But what we also do is save the healthcare system substantial sums of money.
What is the mechanism for convincing somebody who's gone to medical school that they should do this? And now there's, of course, go ahead.
The problem right now is that we have clearly the most wasteful and dysfunctional healthcare system in the world. We end up spending almost twice as much per capita on healthcare as do the people of any other nation, despite the fact that so many people don't have any health insurance and many people have high deductibles or high copayments. And what the system does within itself is encourages young people to go out and be specialists even when we don't need another radiologist or another dermatologist, rather than becoming a primary care physician. So how do we change that? Well, first of all, we change the reimbursement rates. We give respect remuneratively to primary care physicians, and we say, we know that the work you're doing is enormously important. We know that the time you spend counseling a patient, talking about smoking, talking about diet, talking about exercise, treating the kids, getting family history, being somebody that the family is confident can walk in the door when there is a problem, we know that is enormously important. And we're going to give you the kind of financial support that you need as a primary care physician. That is not the case right now. So our reimbursement rates favor the specialist, not the primary care physicians. Second of all, where we have made some progress, I work very, very hard on this issue as a member of the Health Committee when we had the Affordable Care Act. And that is, it's unbelievable, Alan. I don't know if you know, how much debt somebody is in when they graduate medical school, many people are in?
Hundreds of thousands.
That's right, exactly. So if you're, an average income person, you graduate medical school, $150,000, maybe you're starting a family, you're not going to be going to a low-income community to practice primary health care. That's for sure. So what we did in the Affordable Care Act, we tripled funding for a program called the National Health Service Corps. Tripled funding. And what that program says, if you are prepared to do primary health care or dental care, Dental care is another huge problem that we face as a nation. If you're prepared to do primary care in underserved areas and stay there for a certain period of time, we will forgive your debt.
Wow.
So right now, then, you're young. You work in a community health center in a underserved area. Work there for 5-6 years. Guess what? You don't have any debt anymore. And that's a pretty good incentive. Also, that program provides scholarships for young people when they are in medical school. We have to continue to significantly fund that program. It's having an impact. Third thing that we do is, and again, was very, very active on this issue, we have what we call federally qualified community health centers all over New York State, all over Vermont, New Hampshire. And these were started way back in the 60s and the 70s. They are now providing health care. We have a brand new one in Burlington. And these are providing primary health care, dental care, mental health counseling, and low-cost prescription drugs for about 22 million Americans right now. And in recent years in the state of Vermont, we've greatly, greatly expanded that program. We used to have 2. We now have 8. We have something like 41 locations around the state. Again, the largest one being in Burlington. They're now treating over a couple of year period something like 130,000. Vermont is about 20% of the population of our state. We need to expand that program. We have expanded it, but we need to have a community health center in every underserved area in the United States of America. Now, when you do all of these things, Alan, when you have good clinics which provide affordable prescription drugs, mental health counseling, huge, huge issue. Dentistry, just, I cannot tell you how many folks in the United States of America cannot find a dentist that they can afford. Their teeth is rotting in their mouth. Their kids are not getting to the dental, to a dentist. If we do those things, we not only keep America healthier, but we save our healthcare system money, because you treat illnesses when they arise rather than allow them to become much more serious than they should have been.
Now, we have so-called Obamacare. It's a name he's using himself now, about to be implemented. Bernie Sanders, so how does that intersect with what you're calling for here?
Well, it made some progress. Not enough, but it made some progress. I negotiated very hard. I'm not a great fan of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. I'm an advocate of a single-payer health care system, or a national health care program, which most countries around the world have.
That puts us on the same page. Go ahead.
Right. And by the way, Alan, I did want to mention to any of the listeners, because they might be interested in this, on Saturday, May 18th, we are bringing to Burlington, Vermont, to City Hall at 12:30 in the afternoon for lunch, but it's a public meeting, the Danish ambassador to the United States, Peter Taxo Jensen. And we invited him to come to Burlington and other locations around Vermont to, among other things, talk about their health care system. How do they provide health care to all of their people at almost half the cost that we do in the United States? And their system gets much more, is regarded much more positively in Denmark than our system is in this country. Their patient satisfaction level is very, very high. How do they do that? What can we learn from them? So I hope that people will come City Hall in Burlington Saturday, May 18th, to hear the Danish ambassador talk, not just about healthcare, but the kinds of programs that they have in Denmark, which makes them, to my mind, a very successful country.
Well, Bernie Sanders, when we come back for our next interview, I want to talk to you about something that comes right out of that, which is income, wealth, and inequality, okay?
Good.